both to the people here and the people on that little screen somewhere that I can't see. But tonight's subject is, what's on the menu? But first, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you have prepared for us, all you've given us, and the care that you provide that nobody else can. But thank you for blessing this time where we come and examine your word, and then we talk to you. But be with us tonight. Guide and direct our steps as we go through the lesson tonight. Be with those that are hurting here and otherwise. Bless this time. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to look at Genesis. And we're going to start with Genesis chapter 1. 29 through 31. And of course, it's God in the garden talking to the people he created, or the person. Chapter 1, verse 20. Yeah, it's at the beginning. Well, little past those words. And it's verse 29. And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food," and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And then we're going to go to chapter 2, verse 8 and 9.
Is there broccoli in
there? Oh, yeah. And spinach. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God provided nourishment for the people he had created. They have to be sustained with food because they need to grow to maturity. As Bill has pointed out for several months, Adam and his descendants need to grow into maturity, and they must be nourished while this is occurring. So we'll fast forward several years. After the exit from Egypt, the Jewish nation needed to be nourished physically, and God provided manna. They also needed to be nourished spiritually, and God took the time of wandering for 40 years to give them the guidelines of the law. This strength supplied to us by our gracious God is meant for service, not for boasting or living life to excesses. So the real question for tonight's talk is really, what is on your menu? Many times throughout Scripture, food is used as an example of energy, which we should use for the glory of God. Now let's look at what Elijah did following his confrontation with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Even after this miraculous display of the power of God, Elijah had his problems, some external and some within him. But we're going to read a little bit from 1 Kings chapter 19, 4 through 8. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. Then he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then he lay and slept under a broom tree. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose, he ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So he felt incredibly miserable, and lying down, he slept under a broom tree. When awakened by an angel, he was provided with a cake, which had been baked on coals, and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and was refreshed. God didn't provide this just for the comfort of Elijah, but he provided it and then commissioned Elijah to go for 40 days and 40 nights on the strength of it, journeying toward Horeb, the Mount of God. And going into the New Testament, when Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000 men, and then the 4,000 men, as recorded in the Gospels, the people were not willing to accept that the food provided to them was to give them strength for the service that they could give to God. All they saw was a free meal. And in the Last Supper, as we call it, it should have been nourishing to the disciples both physically and spiritually. The disciples failed this test. Peter denied him, Judas betrayed him, and the others all deserted him. But our God is a loving God. He is patient, and he provides a way for us to come back onto the true path. So we're going to look at the Gospel of John and read chapter 21, 1 through 19. And this happened after the crucifixion and the resurrection. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going to with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to them, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, after denying Jesus three times, had to have mixed feelings on this morning. On one hand, there's no doubt that he was overjoyed to see the risen Jesus. But he still may have been ashamed and embarrassed because he had deserted Jesus in the hour of his need. But Jesus invited the disciples to come and dine with him. And after the feast he was concluded, he said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." And he added the words, "Follow me." It should be the same for us. We eat the bread of heaven that we can use our strength in the service of the Master. We come to the feast, and God has provided all with the understanding that we are ready, fully equipped to start off on our duties when we have satisfied our hunger. Some Christians are for living on Christ, but are not too anxious to live for Christ. Earth should be a preparation for heaven, and heaven is a place where saints feast the most and work the most. We will sit down at the table of our Lord, then we will serve him day and night for eternity. We will partake of heavenly food, and we will render perfect service. It should be the same on earth. The strength we gain from Christ every day should give us the nourishment to provide daily service for him. Some of us have much yet to learn concerning what the Lord has given us when he has given us grace. We are not to retain this precious truth within us. We must give it the opportunity to grow. We must sow and water it and tend it. When the Lord provides sunshine and gentle rain in order to make the crops grow. All the fruits of the earth are designed to yield food for man. The Lord also feeds and refreshes our soul daily and gives us encouragement that we may use our renewed strength to promote His glory. Do not live to eat. The Lord has intended each one of us to eat to live and to use it to strengthen us, to provide encouragement and enlightenment to others that they can join us for all eternity. And that's it for tonight. Very shortly, we're going to break away from this broadcast. And we're going to pray for people. You can do the same at home, even if you don't hear my voice. Well, you hear it now. But pray for things like this country, the church, whether it's this one or any other one that worships our God. Pray for missionaries, those that are out there spreading the word. Pray for their safety. And pray that people follow them to God. Pray for the young adults. Pray for the service people. And pray for the health needs of everyone that you know that is not perfect. Pray for our kids, our teens, and our children, because they are the generation that will follow us. They are the future of this earth or this congregation until we're called home to be with Him. But thank you for joining us tonight. And I hope that God blesses the rest of your evening. Amen.